Today's reading is from Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. So a little while back in our reading, we had seen the entrance into Jerusalem where they had gone in and found the colt that was new, that no one had sat on before, and they were putting their cloaks down for him to come in. And now we see here in the beginning of this chapter that the chief priests and the scribes are seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people, for the very people that were celebrating him coming in. And that's been enough time for there to be some teaching within the city, but now comes the Passover. And just like when he told them to go and find that colt, now he is saying to go in and find a place to observe the Passover. There is God's providence at work here, for they find this man carrying this jug of water, and they're asking him for a place for them to observe this Passover, just as Jesus had instructed them. But in verse 3, it says, "Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12, and he goes and confers with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them." In other words, they're afraid of the people, and I guess Judas knows that. And as we know from John chapter 12, that Judas carried the money and he was embezzling some of that money. He was greedy for money, and so he sees this as an opportunity to gain some money. Now, we could make all sorts of suppositions about Judas, but let's just leave it at what the scripture says for a moment, that he just seeks to betray Jesus. In other words, to fulfill what these chief priests and scribes wanted to happen, and they are willing to give him some money for his help in that regard. So they're looking for an opportunity to come after him when those other people that they're afraid of are not there. Sometimes there is some confusion about Judas with the way that it is stated. Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot. What this basically means is that the temptations were there and Judas yielded to those temptations. Judas had certain things that appealed to him, and one of those was the greed. He had a desire for money, and even though he was given warnings ahead of time, he doesn't heed those warnings. He doesn't make application to himself, and he doesn't see the reality of the situation. And so all of these things come together, and at the right time, he is weak and he gives in to the temptations, and that's why he betrays Jesus. This is simply him yielding to that temptation. You and I can still yield to temptation and it be called the same thing today as we see in Romans chapter 6. So Jesus warns Judas, but he makes it clear that he's not going to force him to change his ways, but he's going to give that warning and give the opportunity for Judas to not do this, just like he gives us the opportunity to resist temptation and turn to him for strength. If we don't if we don't listen to the warning and we don't make the application to ourselves and examine ourselves, then there's no one at fault for our succumbing to temptation but ourselves. And the results in those situations are going to be tragic. We're going to fall into sin. We're going to be separated from God. Yes, we can repent, but that shouldn't be an excuse to sin. That's exactly what Paul's addressing in the beginning of Romans chapter 6 when he says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" Your temptations may not be the same as the temptations of Judas. You may have completely different temptations, but you still have the warnings within Scripture to tell you, look out for these things. Keep yourself from these things. You know, if it's love of money, like Judas is, we have the Scriptures that tell us, you know, keep yourself free from the love of money. You know, do things to combat that inclination within you. Think about things that are wholesome and righteous. Don't think about or dwell on those sinful things, the things that tempt you. There are so many warnings about all the various sins, and not, I don't mean in terms of every single sin being enumerated, but those kinds of sins and their manifestations for us. We have all those warnings that are meant to give us the insight into what tempts us and how to combat it. You think about the book of Proverbs and all the things that were written to the young man in order to help him to choose wisdom over folly and choose wisdom over sin and to avoid sin and avoid temptation. Those are the things that are contained within Scripture to help us. That's the wisdom of God to see these things and combat that inclination within ourselves. And it's important that we undergo the self-examination necessary to apply those warnings. How could Judas have been different if he had applied the warnings? Examining himself, he could have made different choices. He still had free will, just as anybody else does, but he didn't make those choices, and that's why we know him to be who he is, the one who betrayed Jesus and the one who then later killed himself over his remorse. Then we have them observing the Passover, and Luke includes a different set of details than we see in other Gospels. There are some things he doesn't mention that are contained elsewhere. But he describes this setting in which they've prepared this large upper room and prepared the Passover. And so they recline at table, and he begins to tell them about the bread and the blood and its association with his sacrifice and the observance of that sacrifice that we continue to observe on the first day of every week today, just as they did in the first century, and as we have instruction to continue to do, that we observe the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, the bread representing his body, the cup representing his blood that was shed, because he was the Lamb of God. He is the one that by his blood we are granted victory over death, victory over sin, and we have the cleanliness that comes because of that sacrifice in the sight of God. In verse 22, he says that the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. In other words, it was the plan of God for him to be the Lamb, the sacrifice for them. But he says, "But woe to the man by whom he is betrayed." And he's talking about the betrayal of Judas. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. Remember in verse 21, he says, "The hand of him who betrays me is with me at the table." So they know it's one of them, but they're questioning which one it's going to be. Again, Luke doesn't include all the details that are contained in other Gospels. So you might look to those to give you a few more details as you continue your personal studies. So they're wondering and they're questioning who is going to do this. And for a close-knit group like this that's been following Jesus for a while, the thought probably comes to mind, why would any of us betray him? It seemed like a thought that was far from them. Thank you for listening today. We're kind of stopping in the middle of a context here because they're going to continue that dispute beginning in verse 24, but we'll pick up that reading on another day. So thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.